The scripture reading for this morning comes from the third chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, beginning with verse 15. This is Luke's account of the baptism of Jesus. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather his wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. But Herod the ruler, who had been rebuked by him because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and because of all the evil things that Herod had done, added to them all by shutting John up in prison. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you, I am well pleased." I encountered this past week on, of all places, YouTube, a rather interesting video. Probably some of you have used YouTube for one thing or another. It started out with people filming their cats doing strange things. And now it is actually an amazing resource for music, for lectures, documentaries, and so forth. But this one is kind of a throwback to how YouTube started. And the video was done by a family of a young boy. And he never gives his name, which I thought was kind of interesting because I think he was so focused on what he was going to talk about. And what he was going to talk about was his cello. Now, this especially resonated with me because, of course, I play the cello, and I have since I was 10 years old. So, I took a listen. He starts off by saying, "This is the last day for my quarter-sized cello." Now, if those, some of you have had children take lessons in string instruments as young children, you'll know that you don't start a small child off with a full-sized instrument. It's just too big. Their hands won't be able to finger the strings properly, and the bow is too big, and so forth. So what is provided is a smaller instrument. So a quarter-sized instrument is about a foot shorter than a full-sized cello. And this is what he played. So he played one of the typical things you hear in Suzuki training, Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, and a couple of other things like that, and it was cute. And then he said, "This is my last day with my one quarter size cello. On Saturday, I'm going to get a half sized cello." And he took a bow. Now, that wasn't the end of the video. What his parents did was they included some photographs of him over the next couple of years. So they got to a video at the end when he's obviously at least a couple years older and he's playing what appears to be a full-sized cello. And he plays a few pieces that are a little more complicated and bids his viewers goodbye. And that's the end of the video. You might easily, when you're looking at all the little thumbnails that come up on YouTube when you're looking at something, just dismiss that as not of much consequence. But this really struck me because it wasn't just a kid showing off. He was telling about his pride in learning how to play the cello and how he was big enough so that he could get a bigger instrument, which would be almost like a graduation. Friends, we can think about our growth in the Christian faith in such a way. with a sense of magic, with a sense of excitement and anticipation at what God is going to do next. And one way to reflect on this is to think about Jesus' baptism. Now this, I think, I have to admit, is the first for me to baptize the child who played baby Jesus on the previous Sunday, on the day that we celebrate Jesus' baptism. So, that was great. So, Jesus' baptism is a very important event in the Gospels, and unlike a number of events that we find in the various Gospels, it appears in all four Gospels, which right off tells us that all of the Gospel writers saw this something as very significant, and it certainly was. Although the accounts of Jesus' baptism actually vary quite a bit from one to the other. But in this context, in this little vignette, we actually have two things going on. One is we have the preaching and the imprisonment of John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin. And you remember that John's birth is actually the first thing that happens in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus and John are very closely tied together. It's thought by some and by me that it's quite possible that Jesus was actually John's disciple before he was on his own. And I think it's probably a pretty good chance. Their close relationship is obvious. And as we follow Jesus' teachings, we can see echoes of John and his teaching and his preaching. So we find John preaching in the wilderness and saying that even though he was baptizing people there, that he was just baptizing with water, but the one who was to come would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. In other words, the real thing. And it may be that Jesus did not baptize people, and we're told in one of the Gospels, I can't remember which now, that Jesus did not baptize anybody because of his coming, that baptism was something for John that just prefigured the coming of Jesus. But you know, in a sense, we're still sort of in that in-between state. We find ourselves in between the coming of Christ and whatever form the consummation of all things will take, and we don't know. And so the church is in the middle. We're in the middle. We're partway there, but we're not all the way there. John knew that. Jesus certainly knew that. And much of Jesus' teachings were based on the very simple ethic of loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself. So we're still in the middle. And baptism is still something that can work for us as one way to acknowledge that. We need reminders of the sustenance that God gives us. We need reminders, and baptism is one way to remember that God is always with us. Now, we can think of this on an individual scale, but we can also think of it on an individual scale, rather than the consummation of all things in the world, by asking ourselves the questions, who are we as children of God? Who are we? And what will we become? Baptism can help us in that. So let's think for just a minute about this story, this account we have of the baptism of Jesus. And there are actually a couple of immersions that go on here. Now, the first one deals with King Herod and with John. Herod, by all accounts, was not a good king. Herod is the son of the same King Herod who was in the story of the coming of the Magi and the slaughter of the innocents. And he apparently learned from his father very well. He was paranoid. John didn't think he was a very good king, and as a result, John often criticized him in his preaching. And lots of people came out to hear him preach. John was one of those people in the Bible, and there are many, who had a really big mouth. And he used it. Now, we all know the story that we are told in the Gospels about how King Herod takes John, throws him in prison, and doesn't really know what he's going to do with him. And then at the famous dinner party, at the invitation of his daughter Salome to dance, he says he'll give her whatever she wants, and she asks for the head of John the Baptist on the platter. And she gets it. And as a result, provides artists in the Christian faith for centuries one of the favorite things to depict in a painting. And there are lots of paintings of Salome holding platters with John's head. Well, Herod was like his father. He was paranoid. And he did not respond to challenges very well. And certainly John's challenges did not sit well with him. And so here's the first immersion. Herod immerses himself in turning away from God. He immerses himself in paranoia, thinking that if he locks John up, that will be the end of it. But it wasn't. Some of John's disciples, as we learn in the Gospel of John, go to follow Jesus. In the book of Acts, we find that some of the disciples of John are encountered by the disciples of Jesus, and they come together in agreement. Herod descends into paranoia and negativity and hatred. And his immersion is a dead end. But then the opposite is also with us, and that is Jesus' immersion. We celebrate Jesus' baptism because it's a reminder how Jesus immersed himself in God's will. He immersed himself in God's will and was open to whatever God would have him do. And this is really important. We are reminded that Jesus lived among us and was one of us. And that began with his baptism. And depending on which account we're looking at in the Gospels, John actually argues with Jesus. In Matthew's Gospel, he says that you should be baptizing me. Jesus' response is, no, this is the way we need to do it, so let's do it. Jesus' baptism also reminds us of our own calling. We are called when we are baptized. Now, some of you may not remember your baptisms. Any of you remember your own baptism? Were any of you brought up as Baptists? No? Okay. Well, I don't remember my baptism, but I know when and where it happened. It was at my home church in Meriden. I was 4 years old. My parents had just moved to that church from another church in town. And even though I don't remember it, I know of it. My baptism is my calling into the Christian faith. Liam's baptism is his calling into the Christian faith. Each of your baptism is your calling into the Christian faith. It's not something that we just do and then forget about. It is the beginning of our Christian journey. Jesus shows himself to be open to God by being baptized. Now, Mary, I'm guessing, was probably aware of this. We know from the Gospels that Jesus had a very close relationship with his mother, and I'd like to think that her influence was pretty significant in the ethic that Jesus taught of loving God and loving your neighbor. And no doubt, she took pride in watching Jesus grow up, wondering if he was really going to do what he was called to do. In the majority of Christian traditions, we baptize infants. Their parents make promises on their behalf, and those promises are renewed in confirmation. Confirmation is an affirmation of baptism. In some branches of the Christian church, children are dedicated, but they are not baptized until they are teenagers. But either way, it is the beginning of a journey. It is a reminder of our openness to God and our willingness to follow that calling wherever it may lead us. And we don't know. And with children, of course, there's always that expectation. Any of you who are parents know the joy of seeing your child develop and to be able to do bigger and better things as they grow older, and to watch them grow and sometimes end up being taller than you, which happened in the case of one of my children. We take joy in watching our children grow and gain knowledge and wisdom, just as Mary did with Jesus. And to come to the point where we can really understand the beginning of the calling that God gives each one of us in our baptism. So let us celebrate this day. And remember your baptism. Even if you don't remember it, remember your baptism. Amen.